Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. During my last time with you on Wednesday night, we tried to introduce some thoughts on the just shall live by faith in Romans chapter 1. And we want to kind of continue that thought. Living by faith, the just shall live by faith. And we want to look at the faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, the honor roll of faith, and look at probably over an extended period, examples of faith, these stalwarts, these examples that we can learn from of how they faced tribulation, how they faced challenges, and how their faith did not falter, but how their faith was strengthened in the midst of tribulation. We read the same type of verses quoted from Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2 and 4 from Romans chapter 1. Now the just shall live by faith. And actually in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 38, as the Apostle Paul is kind of closing out this chapter, he says, also quoting from the book of Habakkuk again, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then it continues right on in chapter 11. And as you know, these chapter breaks are not in the original text, so the flow is not broken.
Right.
Chapter 11, even though we want to look at chapter 11, is not a segmented chapter that you just pull out of the book of Hebrews as a whole.
Amen.
It has a flow to it, and it flows directly from verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. And then remember, he's writing to Hebrews, right? He's writing to natural born Jews. So who are the examples he's going to use for how these just Hebrews should live by faith? All of these Old Testament patriarchs, right? Because that's who they would look up to, being good, devout Jews and knowledgeable of the Old Testament scriptures. So in verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith, and then he gives us examples of how the just have lived by faith and how we live by faith as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That's a pretty succinct, well-defined definition for faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, it says in the book of Psalms that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are many scoffers from the outside looking in that, you know, they see the depravity of this world, but they don't have a perspective or a paradigm to understand the depravity of this world. We do,
right?
Because of the Word of God.
Amen.
Because of the Scriptures. We know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We know the reason why bad things happen in this world to good people is because of sin and because this is a fallen world. We have the answers to those questions. But someone who doesn't have that base, doesn't have that baseline, that doesn't have faith, it's not born again, that doesn't have faith, that doesn't believe there's a God, they would look at someone who does believe in that and say that that is just you trying to come up with positive energy or positive thoughts to not accept the reality of suffering and tragedy and evil here in this world.
Mm.
That's what the scoffer would say.
Yeah.
But you want to know the interesting thing about faith? It takes spiritual eyes to be able to examine the evidence of faith. Okay?
Amen.
But what I want you to understand is that faith is not just a hopeful, wishful attitude. Okay? It is based on substance.
Amen.
And it's based on evidence.
Amen.
And hope is not just a wish. It is a confident expectation. And that confident expectation is based on what? Evidence.
Amen.
Evidence. Okay? So it's not just a positive mindset. Faith was placed inside, the faithfulness of God was placed inside every single child of God at the new birth.
Amen.
Okay? But now, we have to work out what God worked in, right? God's placed that faith in us, and that substance and evidence is there, but we have to test and try and validate that faith individually.
Yes.
Okay? The Holy Spirit gives us all of these great examples of faith. And part of evidence, part of the evidence of faith is not just you going through an experience and seeing God's blessings and deliverance in the midst of that experience and your faith being strengthened because of that. We can evaluate the evidence of faith in the lives of other people. Okay? And I think that's part of the reason the Holy Spirit gives us these examples, is that we can evaluate the evidence in their lives. Not, we don't just have to evaluate the evidence in our life.
Yes.
Think about someone testing a scientific theory. You know, first of all, if I'm trying to provide evidence in my mind that something is as simple as the law of thermodynamics or whatever, something that is commonly accepted by pretty much everyone, before I run a test, you know, if I'm questioning the validity of that evidence, before I run the test, whether I do it and I do it myself and I rely on it myself, does that change the validity of a natural law that if I ran the test and I evaluated the evidence, I would come to a proper conclusion? Does me running that test make it true?
No.
No, it's evidence anyway. Other people have validated it. So me doing it myself, I mean, that gives me some added understanding. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to run the test yourself to rely upon the validity of a report that tells you this evidence is true.
Right.
Are you with me? Okay. And we have, in the Word of God, essentially an entire canon of Scripture that tells us how other people's faith has been tested. It gives us the evidence of other people's faith. And we can evaluate the evidence in their life just like we can in ours.
Amen.
Okay? So this is an evidence book. Okay? And we can rely upon that. I mean, think about it again, that same scientific experiment. Do you need, our students in the congregation tonight, do you need to go run every single scientific test yourself to believe that that report and that evidence is true?
No.
No, you rely upon a verifiable, authentic report.
Amen. Don't you?
Okay? This is what the Word of God is for the building of our faith. This is the evidence, a faithful, true report of faithfulness in the lives of others that should strengthen faith in our life.
Amen.
Okay? Now, it takes the Holy Spirit to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 6, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He must believe in God, right? And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The carnal mind is naturally enmity with God. The natural carnal mind doesn't have the capacity to please God. Why? Because it doesn't have faith. Because it hasn't been born again. Okay? But for those that have, remember, the just shall live by faith. So those that have been made just by Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness, the imputed justification of Jesus Christ on their behalf, that have been born again, they have the faith to be able to exercise. But sometimes that faith is dormant, even among God's born-again children. And even if it's not dormant, it may be atrophied. Because a muscle, if you don't use it, it could become atrophied.
Yes.
It could be strong at one point, but again, if it's not constantly tested and tried and pressed up to and maybe even beyond its capacity, that's what happens when you test your body and your muscles to the maximum capacity, and then when you get sore, that's your body breaking it down so it will be built back up stronger for the next time. Well, if it's never tested, it's never tried, then your faith might be atrophying, right? Because think about someone that just lays in the bed, that doesn't exercise the muscles. They're not getting stronger by doing that. They're getting weaker, okay? Now think about that in regards to some of the language that's used in the Bible regarding the trying of our faith, the testing, the validating of our faith. In Genesis chapter 22, it actually used the language that God tempted Abraham when he was commanded to take Isaac up onto, I believe it was Mount Moriah, to sacrifice him. Now, the word tempted there doesn't mean tempted with evil. It simply means tried. It means his faith was tested, okay? But what Abraham did in the midst of that trial is he validated evidence.
Amen.
Do you understand? He validated the evidence of faith, and especially the faithfulness of God, especially in that context of him being willing to sacrifice his son and then God providing a ram to take the substitute, to take the life, to take the place of Isaac. His faith was tempted. His faith was tried. But now, the evidence of that faith was stronger and validated, right? Okay? Romans chapter 5, it says that we should rejoice in tribulation. Why? Because tribulation works patience, endurance, and then patience, experience, and then experience, hope. Okay? Now think about that. Your faith is tested. Your faith is tried. You now can see the evidence of God's faithfulness in the midst of that trial. You faithfully endure it, patience, and then what do you have? Experiences. That's your evidence. Okay? And then you look back upon that evidence, and what does that give you? Hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? You understand? Are you with me? Okay? So our faith is tested, and we test and try that evidence, and you individually prove that evidence to be true and reliable in your own experience.
Amen.
Okay? We'll probably be mentioning this verse a very good bit in conjunction with Hebrews chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Okay? "The just shall live by faith." We don't live by sight, if you will. We don't live by natural sight. Instead, we live and we walk by faith. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, speaking of the Word of God, particularly of the Scriptures, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, what the Word of God is not is a spotlight that shines for you the exact pathway to where you have clarity of vision from now to the end of your life.
Right.
Okay? God didn't give you that. But he gives you enough light for your feet to take one step at a time.
Amen.
One step at a time. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We have confidence in who God is, and therefore we have faith and confidence that God will provide for whatever the need is. Okay? But Michael Goins had this fantastic quote in regards to faith. Okay? Michael Goins. Faith is divine logic. Faith is a process of deductive and logical reasoning from the facts of revelation to the circumstances of real life. Again, it's practical. Okay? Yes. Faith is practical because that's how we live. The just shall live by faith. Faith says, if God loved me enough to give his own son to die for me, then he clearly loves me enough to take care of me now. Faith reasons, if God was able to solve my biggest problem at the cross, then he is able to solve the relatively smaller problems I encounter each day.
Amen.
Right? That is living by faith. Mm-hmm. It's looking at the evidence. You know, love is proven by action, right? Mm-hmm. We're told that in particularly in 1 John chapter 3. We don't just love in word and tongue. No, we love in deed and in truth, in actions to back up the words that are coming out of our mouth. And if God's profession of love for a people before the foundation of the world was not sufficient in your mind to validate the faithfulness of that love, he proved it in deed and in truth, right? He proved it by sending his only begotten son to die for our sins. And if he solved that problem, what is this relatively small problem that I might be encountering now in my life? Now, that's why I have to understand, that's why I have to say relatively. Now, it may be a huge problem in the course of my daily walk, in the course of my life, but I'll tell you, that is nothing compared to an eternity of God's wrath and judgment in the lake of fire. Okay? So if God was willing to make that sacrifice to prove and validate his faithfulness and his love by sending his son to die for our sins, why should I be concerned about God's faithfulness to give me whatever I stand in need of, grace sufficient, strength in the midst of any trial, here in a relatively less crucial difficulty?
Yes.
Okay? The word substance here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, sub, under, stance, a setting under, literally a support, or simply a foundation. Faith is the foundation for everything we do in our life. Do you desire to please God?
Amen.
I hope that you do. How are you going to do it? The only way you can do it is by faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's nothing more foundational in your life than faith, because that's how we please God. Evidence, a proof or evidence or conviction. And then obviously evidence is proven and tested. It is authenticated. It's authenticated to be reliable and trustworthy. Okay? And oftentimes, faith really challenges us to believe in something that we cannot tangibly put our hands on and verify.
Right.
Because it's the evidence of what? Things not seen. That's right. It's evidence of things not seen. So a lot of times, faith challenges you to believe something that in your natural mind might be impossible. What was Abraham first? He was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that the Lord would tell him about. Okay? Now, if you look at Abraham's life and Hebrews 11, and the Holy Spirit spends a good bit of time centering in on the life of Abraham and Sarah, I want you to think about the way that his faith builds as it goes. Okay? You know, he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, but I'll tell you, his faith then, even though he made a bold move to leave there, it's a whole lot, I believe, in a less mature state than when he was willing to literally sacrifice his only son because the Lord told him to do it.
Yes.
Okay? There's a growth there, right? There's a maturity there. And first of all, it's not just that Abraham left. It's not just that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. He left with the promise that I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, what had to happen for him to be a great nation? They're going to have some kids, right? And that was when he was 75 years old. Fast forward, the kid don't show up till he's 25 years later when he's 100. And if I doubted it a little bit when I was 75, whew, boy, it's 25 years later now, right? My wife's 25 years older. I'm 25 years older. And it says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, against hope, what did he do? He believed in hope. Okay? Now, this sounds like an epiphany. Or maybe it just was to me. But I guess I don't guess this light bulb really cleared in my mind until very just recently. God really doesn't have to give me answers for anything.
Right.
He doesn't have to explain anything to me. Guess what? He's God, I'm not.
Amen.
How about that? You know, his ways are not my ways anyway. His thoughts are not my thoughts anyway. If he explained it to me, it's almost like he's saying, poor little baby, if I took the time to explain it, it wouldn't make any sense to him anyway.
Yeah.
It says in Hebrew, in Romans chapter 11, his ways are unsearchable and his judgments past finding out. I mean, if he explained it to you, it wouldn't make any sense. Why? Because he's God. You're not. He doesn't owe me an explanation, is what I'm saying. Instead, the only answer that I need to do something is because my Father said so.
Amen.
I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand the logistics. It was not up to Abraham to understand the biological means of how Sarah was going to have a son.
That's right.
That was not relevant. What was relevant is that God said it was going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? Who against hope believed in hope. And notice this language in Romans chapter 4. Verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Now notice, in his mind, he knows his body's dead. But he considered that not. He considered not his own body being now dead when he was about 100 years old, or neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. In his mind, he knew, my physical reproductive capabilities are dead. My wife's physical reproductive capabilities are dead. But you know what? Against hope, I believed in hope. Because I believe that God will complete what he promised he is able to perform.
Amen.
Okay? That's faith. That's faith. Looking at that, even when it doesn't make sense, and saying, God said it, I believe it. Right? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, very well-known verses. And this is some verses that some people cut their teeth on memorizing. I would encourage you to do that if you don't know these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now here's the kicker. All right. And lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That word acknowledge literally means to know. It's not just like tipping your cap to him, you know. As I'm going about my own way, I'll acknowledge the Lord as I'm passing by him. No, that means know him.
Amen.
Know who he is. Know how faithful he is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, but lean not to your own understanding. You know, it's not up to you to understand the logistics of how the Lord might get you from point A to point B. It's up to you to just walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? To take that, the little light that you have of the lamp of the Word of God, take that next step in faith. Let's go to Job chapter 23. And we know the story of Job, and there's probably no one that endured more compacted, concentrated suffering in such a short period of time than Job did. Now, I'm not saying people maybe as a whole may not have endured something more tragic, but when you read the first chapter, this would be the equivalent. You know, a guy shows up and tells him that he lost all of his possessions, and then the guy shows up right after that. That would be the equivalent of getting, I believe it was four messengers, if I'm remembering correctly. It may have been three, but each one of those messengers literally showed up right after the other. It would be the equivalent of getting a phone call, hanging up, getting another phone call, hanging up, getting another phone call, hanging up. And within 1 minute, if you track out, it takes them about 15 seconds to tell him what they told him, and it comes one after the other. Within 1 minute, he literally lost all of his business holdings, lost all of his possessions, and all 10 of his kids were slain. Within 1 minute. Man, talk about a gut punch, right? And then, even though Job was initially faithful, and sometimes, you know, some in that, I guess that first punch in the nose, you know, I might be willing to do like he did, you know, the Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord, you know. But then once things start really sinking in, okay, the gravity of the circumstance. And then his wife turns on him, you know, curse God and die. He loses his health. And then his friends come and essentially start telling him what a horrible guy he is. And really, you need to repent of this horrible deed that you've done. And quit acting like you're living righteously. You know, Job gets to the point, even though he responded initially very well, when his faith is tested, not just initially, but consistently over an extended period of time, he gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. He does. And he gets a very skewed mindset. He has this persecution complex and starts defending himself righteously to a certain degree, but then he gets a little bit of a warped view of how righteous he really was. And then if you read the book of Job, you know, Elihu shows up and he rebukes him. And then the Lord takes the microphone and the Lord mm-hmm. tells him, look, Job, you are not as righteous as maybe you think you are. Okay? So in the midst of that, okay, in the midst of that scenario where his faith is being severely tested, right? Job says in Job 23 and in beginning here in verse 7, you know, when we're going through a very severe trial, we want to put our hands on something. We want to see the Lord coming down, you know, with a chariot of fire and see, you know, think about Elijah when he was in that cave, and we want to see the earthquake and we want to see the wind and we want to see the great fire. But instead, the Lord spoke to him, and not in those cataclysmic signs, he spoke to him with a still small voice down in his heart. We want to see the Lord really show out in really severe, profound situations, right? Job was kind of searching for that, okay? And he says in Job 23, beginning in verse 7, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the right hand, or on the left hand, rather, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips? I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary bread. He's going in every direction looking for the Lord, right? Literally every direction. He's going forward. He's going backward. He's going to the left or the right. And you know what? The Lord's there. We know that through the Holy Spirit from chapter 1 and 2. The Lord's placed a hedge about him, and the Lord moved that hedge back a little bit and gave Satan a degree of authority to do some things to Job. But you know what? The Lord's still there, because he said, you can't take his life. The hedge is still there. But you know what? Job can't feel him in the moment. Job can't feel him in the heat of the battle. But you know what? Faith tells him, I can't see him. I can't perceive him. I can't see what he's doing exactly. I don't understand it. But you know what? I know he's there.
Amen.
Okay? On the left hand, notice this. Where he doth work, but I can't behold him. I know he's there. I know he's guiding. I know he's protecting. I know God will never leave me in forsake. And I know he's there, but I can't see him. I can't perceive him. I can't feel his presence as strongly as I had in the past. But you know what? Even though I can't see him, I know he's there.
Amen.
That's faith, right? You don't, again, not only does God not have to give you the explanation for everything, he doesn't have to manifest himself like on the Mount of Transfiguration every time he's doing something.
Right.
He doesn't have to do that. No, but you need to be reminded that when you're searching for him, going in every direction, literally in every direction, searching for the Lord, and he couldn't find him in his own natural senses in any way that he was going, and everywhere he was searching for him. I can't see him, but you know what? Faith still said, you know what? Over here on the left hand, I can't see him, but I know he's there. And not only is he there, but he's working, right? He's working on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot perceive him. I cannot behold him. And he hideth himself on the right hand. I know he's on the right hand, I just can't see him, because he's hiding himself. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. And man, I love verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. You know, the Lord was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows it, not just academically. He knows it intimately. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, when he has tried my faith, when he's put my faith through the refining fire, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial, okay, the testing, the validation of the evidence of your faith, okay? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not a surprise. Job took comfort in the fact that, you know what, it's not a surprise what's going on in my life. No, the Lord's right there. He's on the right hand. He's on the left hand. I can't see him right there, but I know he's there with me. He knows the way that I take. He knows what I'm going. He knows it. And you know what? This trial is not for naught. There are some, I know, especially for me, seems like I've been in an extended period of burning away the dross, burning away impurities that have hindered me from being a vessel that's meet for the master's use in the manner that I ought to be. And you know what? It's going through the furnace is not always pleasant.
Right. Hey, man.
Because guess what? The furnace gets hot. And it takes heat to remove impurities, doesn't it? That doesn't happen in the freezer. Doesn't happen in the refrigerator. It happens in the furnace. It happens in the midst of the fire. But you know what? He had a vision. He had an understanding that, you know what? This is not for naught. No, when he's tried me, I will come forth as gold. And aren't you so glad that the book of Job doesn't end at chapter 41?
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord gives us chapter 42, where Job prayed for his miserable comforters. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And you know what? He gave him double on the back end what he had before. The Lord knew about all that, right? The Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That word report means a witness or a testimony. It means that their life lived by faith was a testimony and a witness and a validation of the authenticity of the faith that they lived their life by. Okay? And we read about that good report and that testimony and that witness in chapter 11, right? It tells about the way that they lived their life, their good report, the good testimony, the good witness that they exhibited. And we can look at that evidence. We can look at that evidence of faith, and our faith can be strengthened by their faith. You know, that's not just words on a page either. There are people in my life that my faith has been strengthened by their faith. You here in this room, many of you, your faith, my faith has been strengthened by seeing your faith exhibited by the good report of your faith. And you know what? That's part of the integral part of being a member of the body of Christ, right? Is that one member strengthens another member. My good report of faith can be an encouragement to someone else. We'll close with a different song, but I want to highlight some of the words in the song that we sang to open service. God moves in a mysterious way. Okay? Remember, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. It's not up to me to understand what God has told me to do. It's up to me to just walk by faith. Okay? God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break with blessings on your... You know, clouds look very, you know, dark and gray and formidable. But you know what they're... You know the reason they look like that? There's rain up in there. And you know what? You need that rain, don't you? Mm-hmm. They may look bad from the bottom, but you know what? There's something in those clouds that needs to come down for your benefit, right? Clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Look, his ways are higher than our ways. His Amen. Judgments are passed by. Don't judge the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. You know, I'm pretty sure to Job it looked like a very frowning providence. Now, there was providence in there, right? I mean, the Lord was protecting him. The Lord still had a hedge about him. But even in the midst of that, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. But God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain.
Yes.
You know, it's not up to me to interpret God's will. It's up to me to just walk by faith.
Amen.
Right? He will make it plain. And I am thankful that in some of the things that, some of the pathways that I think I've went, the Lord has given me some 20/20 hindsight. And I can see how the Lord has made it plain after the fact. But I tell you, sometimes in the middle of it, I was like Job. Lord, where you at? I can't see you. You know, I'm going to the right. I'm going to the left, front and backward. Lord, I can't perceive you. I don't know where you're at. But I hope faith still says, Lord, I know you're there, and I know you're working. And it's not up to me to judge the Lord by feeble sense and try to understand it right now. It's up to me to just walk by faith.
Amen.
And you know what? One of these days, those clouds you so much dread, they might break with mercy and blessings poured down upon your head. Remember, the just shall live by faith.